lesson and I'm now feeling it is extremely difficult.
Yeah, the beginning. We yeah, talked about the sacrifices in the tunnel. Not easy. Hard. Not easy. Okay. We're in. Charles, we're in. Keith, you up? You ready to crack a joke?
Ready to
Rambam. Here it goes. We're going to read a Rambam. Okay, before we read the Rambam. Okay, start over right now. This week's parasha, many halachas. Achrei Mois and Kedoshim. Kedoshim is a list. In Kedoshim, one of the most famous psukkim, I use such a phrase, one of the most famous psukkim in the entire 24 books of the, and certainly in the 5 books. And the words of the pasuk are, V'yahavta l'rayacha k'mecha. What does that mean?
I forgot.
I don't believe you. Love your fellow man like yourself. Love your fellow man like yourself. That is one of the biblical commandments in the Torah. A positive commandment to love your fellow man like yourself. You have to laugh. Come on. Now,
that's what they have in the Lubavitcher cities when they start praying.
Very good. That's because the Magen Avraham, 1600s, writes that before one is to pray, he is to accept upon himself the mitzvah of Bahasa Lech Mosh. So if they have, I don't know what you're saying, I trust you on it, that in the beginning of Siddurim they have this quote, Bahasa Lech Mosh, and that will be from it, and we will be sending out an audio share based on that in today, this week. But that's not what tonight's about. The Rambam says, in Deus 6:3, chapter 6, Halacha 3, mitzvah al kaladim, it's a mitzvah, a commandment on each person, love is called echad vechmiso, to love each person of the Jewish nation, kigufai, like himself. Shenemar, our pasuk, yathrechmecha. Lefichach. Therefore, interesting. The Rambam says, therefore. Therefore, what? Therefore, tzarech lesaper, yeshivchai, someone should speak in praise of another. The lachas amamoina, be careful of someone else's money. Kashir chas amamanatzwe, just like he cares about his own money. Hold on, what's the place? The rights of the chabaratzwe, just like he wants his own respect. That's the first half of this Rambam. Now, when it says l'ficha, therefore, there's going to be a question. But when it says you're supposed to love someone like yourself, what type of commandment? How do you fulfill this commandment? That's the question we're asking. So it goes like this. We had, in the past, we discussed the mitzvah that every male has of procreating, to produce children. That is a mitzvah commandment. What is the mitzvah of procreation? I think we discussed this once. And the debate can be, is the mitzvah having the relations, but that's not a guarantee on anything. Who knows? You could have relations and have a kid, you could have relations and have no kids. That's exactly. When I hold a lulav, I know what I'm doing. When I sit in the sukkah, I know what I'm doing. Or is the mitzvah to have children? Procreate means having children. How do you have children? We do an action of cohabitation.
Or adoption.
Or adoption. But the action of cohabitation is in fulfillment of the mitzvah to have children. But the action of cohabitation is not a mitzvah. It's the way to get there. Can't do it otherwise. Not about marriage now. You can have children without marriage. It's all about the action itself. Now, when it says you're supposed to love your fellow like yourself, so we have different categories of mitzvahs. Positive, negative. Man, man, God. What about actionable versus non-actionable? So when it says fear God is what type of mitzvah? It's a mental mitzvah. Mental mitzvah. Hold a lulav. If you think about, I identify as a guy holding a lulav, you're not getting credit. I identify as a guy davening, not going to work. In fact, we've discussed this in the past, of the 613 mitzvahs, nearly all of the 613 mitzvahs are actionable mitzvahs. Actionable. Almost everything is actionable of the positive mitzvahs, for sure. Do something or don't do something. But it's something. It's not on almost all. There is a few, like we just said, fear God. Right now, if I'm fearing God, I fulfill a mitzvah. I could be sitting here doing nothing and I fulfill a mitzvah. Learning Torah is a debate. Can you fulfill the mitzvah through thought process?
Well, we're listening right now.
Yeah, well, there's a question if everyone's listening. There's a question if everyone's listening. Michael got it right away. And then there's a question if you're listening, are you fulfilling a mitzvah? But certainly, and according to some, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless you actually verbalize the words. Some say you don't make the bracha in the morning unless you verbalize the words. Because every mitzvah, almost every mitzvah, has an action to it. So now I ask you, the mitzvah, I have to recommend to love your friend. Okay, is that what? I love you? Is that when I just told Garba I love you, did I fulfill a mitzvah? Do I have to actually believe it? Do I have to actively hug you? What's going on here? What is the mitzvah? So the Rambam is a funny thing. We just read it ourselves. The Rambam says, very odd, there is a mitzvah on each person to love his fellow Jew like himself. As it says, therefore, one should speak about his friend in praise and try to protect his money.
That's the action.
So it's possible, some say, that the mitzvah of loving your friend, the action of the mitzvah is to speak about them. How do you love someone? I don't know how I love someone. You know, you love someone, you tell them, I love you. Or not that, not tell you, Eliezer, I love you, because it might not even be true. I tell Garbo good things about Eliezer. That's the thing. You speak positive about them. When people are engaged, they praise their spouses. When they get married, okay, we're not going to end that statement. Yes?
I have a question. If you don't love yourself, but you tell God or anybody else that I love you, doesn't that cancel out the mitzvah?
Excellent.
You first have to love yourself before you love anybody else?
It's a brilliant question. And I want to say the words here slowly and pay attention. You might have answered your own question. I might have answered your question without asking, but it's much more than we're about to do. There is a mitzvah, just in case the camera didn't hear. The question was, is there a commandment first to love yourself before you love somebody else? And listen to the words. There's a commandment to love another Jew. Like it says, love another like yourself. So what does it mean, like yourself? So some want to say, not tonight's class, maybe we'll get to that. Some want to say that in order to love someone else like yourself, that implies, I'm not saying the word mitzvah, nor did you, there is something, idea, preparatory act, whatever the word's going to be right now, we're not discussing, about yourself before you love someone else. So love someone else like yourself. Now, many rabbis say that, except for a few cases, obviously, there are people out there who are unwell. Most people, on some level, do love themselves as much as they should, too much, whatever it is. But some people, nobody wants to be bashed on. Because look at the words it says. Like being praised, like careful about your money. Most people are careful about their money. Everyone? No. But most, I would say 90-something percent plus people are careful about their money. I mean, they're not throwing it all away. They might be spending too much, but they have something to it. What about praise? People want to be praised. So when you know what you want for yourself, you do it for others. Now there's going to be a question. If someone is an unhealthy human being, and he has self-hatred, which there are people, right? But it's not self-hatred, in other words, I can't remember.
Yeah.
What do they do about everybody else? Now, the general answer is going to be, when someone is self-hatred, depends on the level we're at here, they might not be obligated a lot of misses. Because unhealthy people are not obligated a lot of misses. Now, it depends on the level of unhealthiness and the level of misses. But it's something we've discussed many times in the past. In order to be obligated to misses, you have to first be a normal, healthy human being. And that's why we've discussed in this class, if someone is not well, you could send them to a psychiatric ward, even though you know they're not keeping Shabbos there. Even though you know, questionable, big debate, they're going to eat non-kosher food. Even though they're violating a bunch of laws. Why? We believe to save a life, you violate all laws. Being a healthy human being, again, there's levels of what we're discussing here, healthy human being. So it could be, as Haskell said correctly, the Rambam's lefichach is, why do I have to talk about somebody else positively? Because that's the action to show I love them. Some want to say, no, it's different. How could the Torah command a concept of love? Could the Torah command emotions? Very big question. Are we robots?
Yes.
Are we robots? No, that's a question. So are we robots or not? Could the Torah say, love this person? Don't be jealous. It's a very big question. So some want to say, the Torah can command it if you can get it. You know how you get to love Garbo? You speak nicely about him. You give him presents. We believe in Judaism. The word hav is to give, is the root of oyev to love. When you give, you love. The reason why people are single many times is because they're looking for something that will fill their own personal needs. And they're coming, approaching the dating scene. It's the way the system is almost set up, so it's a system issue. They're approaching the dating scene from a selfish viewpoint. I want, I need, I desire, I think I should have. It's all
I deserve.
It's all selfish.
And married people don't think that.
And married people who think like that have bad marriages. That's what I would guess.
I should have a dollar for every bad marriage.
How do I love Michael Bass? I do. But can I love Michael Bass the same way as you did, Joe? Depends on the hour. How do I do it? One way to actually like someone is, so there's two ways to understand these words. Either we understand the first way, that the actions are how you fulfill the mitzvah. I can't love my heart, it's not good enough, therefore talk good about someone. Or it's a roadmap. How do you become to love someone? Speak good about them. Be nice to someone. Usually when you're a giver and you're nice to someone, this is what they say, I'm not trying it. But usually if you don't like someone and you're very nice to them, after a while, your emotions start taking over. You're invested in that situation. So when you're invested in the situation, it subconsciously works. You start liking the people. That's what they said. They say it works. So there are two ways to understand this Rambam. At least two ways. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to love someone, therefore speak highly of them. What is therefore speak highly? Either that's the way to physically manifest itself in how you fulfill this mitzvah, or it's a roadmap on how to get them. Okay. Speak highly about someone. That's what the Rambam says. But here goes the question that they ask. I'm going to quote you the Talmudic passage. Talmudic passage. Two rabbis sitting. A folded deed. That's a contract that was not clearly written in the proper way. A folded deed was once performed, was once brought before Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who remarked, you know, I'm looking at this contract. You know what's missing? It's missing a date. Torts law. There's no date on this. Reb Shimon, his son, said to his father, maybe check between the folds. The way it was written, the paper was a little folded. Check it out. He ripped up the seams, and he opened it, and he saw it had a date. Rebbe was unhappy with it. His son said, by the way, I didn't write that. I just knew. I realized. I didn't write that. Rebbe Yehuda, 19, I can't see what it says here, answered, keep away from Telburn. Don't snitch on the guy. He was thinking that. Don't tell me. When I finish it. Second story. Once he was sitting in the presence of when he finished this section of the book of Psalms, he said, wow, this is really written well. He said, by the way, I didn't write it. Someone else, the same guy, he's the one who wrote it. Keep away from talebearing. Keep away from talebearing. When I said the contract was folded and disgusting and ugly and it's missing words, that's bad news. You're telling, by the way, I didn't do it. That guy did it. That's called the snitch. But here he's saying a beautiful look. Here we want to discuss. Because Rav Dimi said these words. Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra, said, a man should never speak in praise of his friend because by praise, he brings upon his blame. So a normal thing, when you start telling people, Garbo, stud, major catch. There's going to be some guy saying,
he's not that great.
He's not that great. That was quick. That was quick. He didn't hesitate on that one. He was thinking it already. So wait a second. We have a concept, Yedidya. We're open to a passage that says, don't speak in praise of someone because I come not in praise of Caesar. What's the phrase? I came to bury him. Charles, he's good with that, but Mike is on fire tonight. So I come not in praise of Caesar because when you praise someone, you potentially cause a backlash by the naysayers, by the disgruntled employees. The disgruntled employees. So they ask right away a question. Wait a second. The Rambam just said, there is a mitzvah to love someone. Therefore, we had two interpretations. Doesn't make a difference for this. Therefore, the words are, hold on, I got to find it again. The fichach, a person must l'saper to speak b'shifchayim praise. What about this halacha? You know what happens when you speak in praise? I want to tell the world I love Garbo, therefore Garbo is good looking. What do you say right away? I want to say Garbo is brilliant. I'm actually enjoying this. There's a famous joke I think I've said in this class. This guy calls the secretary of the office and says, I'd like to speak to Mr. Smith. She goes, oh, Mr. Smith died. He goes, okay, hangs up. A few minutes later, he called back. I speak to Mr. Smith. She's like, he died. Hangs up. Third time, fourth time. One point, she says, listen, guy, I don't know what's the problem here. I hate to tell you, I'm not playing games. I'm not like a secretary blocking the door. Mr. Smith is dead. Why do you keep on calling? Love hearing it. I knew that was coming, right? So the idea is, as I sit here and praise Garbo, I'm loving the reaction. I'm loving it. Garbo's great looking. The crowd says no. Garbo's smart. The whole crowd says no. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful reaction, Garbo. Anyway, the point is this. We have a contradiction now. We have open Talmud passage saying, open Talmud passage, that even when he said good, when he said bad, that this guy wrote the bum deed that was crinkled and ripped. Yeah, don't speak bad about the guy. But he said, look how beautiful this is written. What are you doing? Don't speak good. Because the moment you say good, I'm going to say bad. Rambam here says, in order to say love about someone, say good. Now, in a way, the Rambam himself answered this question. Because the Rambam in the next set of laws, a chapter later, says, I want to discuss what's called Avak Lashon Hara. What do we call Avak Lashon Hara in English? The dust. Cousin.
Dust.
The dust of Lashon Hara, the cousin. It means a cousin. Here it says, the Rambam says, this is literally, I mean, it depends on obviously the print, but it's a page later. This page is discussing when you love someone, the mitzvah, love someone, the whole of them. Page later says, whoever speaks, we're talking about a Bakal Shonara. The laws of ill speak. What's called ill speak? Whatever it is. Ill speech. Ill speech. Whoever speaks nicely, positively about the good of his friend. Rambam adds on two words. Obviously, once I say it, you're going to realize it. Bifnei Sinai in front of an enemy. Raise up Akash, he violated the law. So right away, they want to say, oh, you know why the Rambam added in the words? To answer our question. That means it depends. When you're talking about Garbo in front of enemies, and then you have to be careful because people right away say Garbo's not that good looking, Garbo's not that smart, Garbo's not that energy. But if you're speaking in front of regular people, I want to show my love to the guy. That's what you're fulfilling this. So they want to answer very simple. The Rambam's very simple. If you go with the two Rambams, if you know, one place it's poor, one place it's rich, you just fill in the words. When are you supposed to praise someone? When you want to show love, but when you're doing it, be careful who's in the room with you. Because if you're in the room with you, with the naysayers, with the negative guys, the unhealthy human beings, who don't like hearing praise about anybody, nobody wants to hear Eliezer is the king. No. We're jealous of the guy. What? Then you don't say anything. If the enemy's in the room, you say nothing. Because as soon as you bring up his name, it's a bad idea. So if I know you have an enemy,
then the bad doesn't become the good. And they agree, and then they don't want to kill
you. You want to make peace. If you want to make peace, There's probably smarter ways to do it. We're talking about in general, don't say in front of friend A about friend B when A and B don't like each other. Bringing up his name at all, good or bad. But when you want to show love, how do you? So it means, now, you have to go back to this original story. Are we going to say that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was an enemy of the scribe? We have to lower the word, and we have to lower the bar, threshold, what we call enemy. Because we're not going to say Rabbi Yehuda was an enemy of the scribe. I mean, come on. First time, he didn't like the way he wrote. I don't recall enemy. So it doesn't mean necessarily the word enemy. I'm saying it's my own because of the story right here in front of us. We got this from. The story was the scribe didn't write well. Well, the scribe wrote very well. He said, oh, don't do that. That's a makal shenar. So Rambam said, enemy. Okay. The enemy is a loose terminology. It means when you know there'll be a negative reaction. Since I know Rebbe a month ago, a year ago, doesn't say when. It says only one time. But maybe it was 2 days ago, was upset with the scribe at something he had done, not personal. Not personal. He didn't run his business well. He wrote a contract that wasn't clear. Okay, not personal. But I didn't like what he did last time. Don't bring the guy's name up. Don't bring the guy's name up. That's what it means.
You're saying it could cause an ayin hara.
Lashon hara.
But if you speak positively.
If you speak positively, the naysayers react. Lashon hara.
People will start to like get jealous. Envy.
Well, we're not worried about the ayin hara as much as we're lashon hara. People are going to react. The more you praise, the more they're going to say you're wrong. There is another issue of ayin hara. Now, there is a question now. In general, the ayin hara issue most of the time is on the person himself. Don't drive the fancy cars that people look at. It's not don't point it out to someone else. The pointing out to someone else is the lashon hara. The driving the nice car is the ayin hara. Anything you're doing ostentatiously, a lot of tough words for me. Anyone doing ostentatious stuff is a problem. On ayin hara. And the Gemara says 99% of people pass away because ayin hara. So it's good advice.
You know when you're speaking about someone, if who's the friend who's the enemy. All you can trust maybe is the parents. That's it. The Rebbe or the parents of the person, who else is guaranteed going to appreciate the comments? Because everybody on some level is like, I don't, what are you talking about?
So once someone to say, excellent, someone to say as a similar answer, not enemies, but the level would have to be very strong negative. Now, here, not enemy. Enemy would be lowered because here they weren't enemies. But it has to be, you know there's going to be a reaction. Here by Rebbe, it was known that he was already upset with this scribe. He didn't like this guy's work. The guy's a builder in your house, and he messed up your house. And you invite a random, let's give a random example. You got a window guy in your house, and Godfrey doesn't do a good job. And I said, well, that window guy is really good.
Don't tell you that he's good. He did a great job of mom's life, but he did a crap job of mine.
You know that's going to be the reaction. Yeah, that's going to be the reaction. So when you do that, so they want to say when you know there's going to be a reaction. So when it would be when in doubt, you're okay. So the answer we have so far with the Rambam, which we're playing with, is the Rambam himself says, praise except if there's going to be an enemy. We're saying enemy lower the bar. We're saying bad experience as well. Does it mean a bad experience when you know there'll be a negative repercussion? When in doubt, you might be okay.
You once mentioned that the heavenly court meets every hour.
The Gemara.
So if you praise someone, right away the heavenly court might say, right where they may look in the books and say that person doesn't deserve
it. Does say, we spoke about this also in the past, when it comes to a funeral, you're not to extremely exaggerate. Not as, you're allowed to do a little bit. That means when you start getting up there in extreme exaggeration, the heavenly court says, oh, this guy's showing up. You know what they say about this guy? He gave 90% of his stuff to charity? Let's check the books. He was never mean to his wife? Let's go take that the video. What's that guy? Warner Wolf. Let's go to the videotape and see if that makes a lot of sense. So excessive, that's the word, exaggerated is what it says in the halacha. Eulogies are unwise. So, but usually when you're praising someone, I wouldn't say it's extremely exaggerated. Usually just maybe slightly, maybe I would say slightly. And usually someone's only going to react when they feel it's exaggerated by a lot if they're not enemies. Next answer, Chassam Sofer. The holy Chassam Sofer died in 1840. The great rabbi, Rosh Hashiva of Preshburg, as well has this question. So Chassam Sofer answers like this. It's interesting to know. Chassam Sofer says, it depends on what type of praise you're giving. In the Gemara story, we're praising the guy's physical talents of contract writing, drawing. Not even sure what that is. Those talents don't do. That creates sometimes backlash. But when you talk about loving a guy, and as we said before, you want to inculcate into yourself love for the guy. It's got to be something real. Real, not what you think is real. And therefore, we're talking about praising on a spiritual way. So Garba's davening, phenomenal. Because that's the real praise, spiritual praise. That praise is allowed. That praise is allowed. Because we don't care if there's going to be a backlash, or we don't expect the backlash. That's what you want to be known about yourself. Good stuff. The physical stuff, that's what he divides it. The physical stuff, like the story over here, we're talking about the guy's ability as a court clerk. Don't start, because you don't know where the road is going. That's Chassam Sofer's answer. Next answer. An answer by a guy who only lived recently, but I like it. He wants to say the difference in the words. When we're speaking about love of a person, you want to love him, the lesson that Rambam uses is Tzarech Lisaper. What does Lisaper mean? And over here he says, Chala Mesaper. What's the word Mesaper? So he wants to say, Mesaper means to storytell, and it means how much you're going to wind up doing. Which is almost what Eliezer said. When you're overabundance on it, that's where the problem becomes. You know why? He's not saying what Eliezer said about the backlash, but it goes like this. Let's say I stand there, and for the next hour, I just say, you know, Garbo, that's great. Look, for an hour straight. You know what everyone's going to say? But you got nothing else to say about his looks? What's his character like? What's his family like? What's his job like? When you praise X too many times, the inference is there. When you praise one person on one time, on one thing constantly, it implies there's nothing else there. The recap is this. We have a pasuk in this week's parasha of Ahasuerus, Michael, love your friend like yourself. The Rambam says, therefore, we have two interpretations of therefore. Therefore, he means that is the way to fulfill the mitzvah by doing something physical. Or therefore, that's how to create the love within your heart. What is the therefore? Speak positively about the person. We have a Talmudic passage, 164b, in Bava Basra, that says, you're not supposed to be positive about someone, it creates a backlash of negativity. Contradiction. Rambam is saying in order to show love, speak positively. On the other hand, says don't speak positively, it creates negativity. The Rambam himself seems to answer, and he says it depends when the prohibition of not speaking positively in front of someone, when it will create a backlash, is referring to when the viewing audience it has a negative feeling toward the person you're praising. Rambam says the word enemy. We said enemy is not literal, it just will create negative feelings. How much do you have to assume? We could assume most people do not have the negative feelings. Therefore, when in doubt, you probably could say something. That was answer number one. Answer number two was.
I can thread the needle on that thing.
Answer number two is going to be if you're discussing the spirituality of the person, spiritual aspects of the love, or the physical aspects of the love. That'll be the second answer. And the third answer is going to be if you overdo it, which is what Eliezer said, overdoing it can create some negativity either by the viewing audience because they get more jealous or by them inferencing, that's even a word. The implications that he only has plus one, but he's missing minus one.
So why don't you go in a room by yourself with no one around and out loud praise that person so you're going to love that person? This way you won't have any conflict.
Not sure if that works, but it's not a bad idea. I'm not sure what would work, though. Would praising someone to yourself help in the giving aspect? I'm not sure. It might not work as well, but it's not a bad idea.
What is the connection that Ramon says about watching a person's money? How does that fit in or tie in?
Think about that. Well, it could be like this last answer that no, the ruchnius and the gashmius, that in the end you want the real stuff. That's like when someone really wants the money, he really wants the ruchnius praise. Deep down, we're all quote a Chabad phrase, pintle yids. We all want really the good stuff to happen. Hopefully, we'll get it soon. All our prayers should be answered.
Amen.
Amen.